republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, would you like to call the roll?
Thank you. Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Stapleman?
Present.
Commissioner Wallace?
Here.
Vice Chair Sheeler?
Present.
Chair Solomon?
Here. Thank you. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It's requested that each speaker complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording clerk. Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker slips this evening?
No, Chair Solomon.
Thank you. Well, our next item is the approval of the Planning Commission minutes for our meeting of January 10th, 2011. Any discussion about the minutes? Corrections? Changes? Okay.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's 5-0. Thank you. Our first item this evening is item B1. And Madam Clerk, would you please read the item into the record?
Item B1 is a public hearing. It's item 08-185DP, Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital, Medical Office Building Project, located at 5333 Hollister Avenue, APN 065-090-023.
Thank you. And I believe we'll begin with a staff report. Ms. Miller, Ms. Moore, good evening.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. We're very pleased to be here this evening with this project before you. And the planner on this is Cindy Moore, Senior Planner, and she'll be providing a presentation. We also have the applicant's team here in the audience, and they are planning to do a PowerPoint as well following the staff presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. The project... start here. The project site is approximately 2-acre parcel located at 5333 Hollister Avenue, and this is at the southwest corner of the Hollister Avenue-Patterson Avenue intersection just north of the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. The application includes a development plan for a new 52,000 square foot two-story medical office building. We call it the MOB, and this would replace the existing two-story, approximately 41,000 square foot medical office building, which would then be demolished upon completion of the new MOB. The development plan includes a request for four modifications to zoning ordinance standards. These include a modification for the setback and landscaping along the southern property boundary. And this is really a function of the existing property line running through the shared parking area between the existing medical office building and the hospital parcels. There's also a modification to the maximum height limit of the professional institutional zone district. And in the general plan office and institutional land use designation, it specifically allows for a maximum height limit of 45 feet for medical office buildings that have the hospital overlay, and this parcel has that overlay. And there is also a modification to the number of parking spaces. As you may have seen in the staff report, the zoning ordinance requires one space per 200 square feet for medical office buildings. In this case, that would mean a requirement of 260 spaces. The parcel site plan is proposing 16. And currently, there is a reciprocal easement that was recorded in April of last year that ties both the hospital and the medical office building parcels together with a parking and access easement. So the requirement for both parcels together would be 375 spaces. Again, with both parcels together, 393 spaces would be provided. And this obviously exceeds the zoning requirement. However, because only 16 would be on the MOB parcel, it does require the modification. This is a picture of the site plan. It illustrates the location of the new MOB on the eastern portion of the parcel. The placement is due to the decision to retain the existing medical office building until the new MOB would be constructed. The plan also shows the olive grove on the western portion of the property and pedestrian paths that lead from the sidewalk and bus pocket area on Hollister Avenue into the site. You can also see the indentation on the footprint of the building that faces Hollister. That's a little courtyard area. And the applicant team, I know, is going to go into more detail on the architecture and the landscape architecture. So I just wanted to quickly introduce the elevations to you. The top elevation is the north elevation. That is what's facing, what would face Hollister Avenue. And that darker area in the center is that indented courtyard. The bottom is the east elevation, or what would face Patterson Avenue. Again, the top is the south-facing elevation, or what faces the hospital, and the bottom is the west elevation, which would face basically that olive grove and what you'd see coming along Hollister Avenue. And these you can't quite see so well, but their perspectives, the top one, is the proposed building within existing context on Hollister Avenue. The middle one is kind of more of the intersection view, and the bottom shows the Patterson Avenue, again, view. And this is sort of a close-up of the intersection. And this one, again, is a close-up on the Patterson Avenue side. CEQA analysis included preparation of a mitigated negative declaration. It analyzed the impacts of the change in square footage between the existing and the proposed MOBs. It was released for a 30-day public review period in September of last year. No comments were received. The mitigation measures from the MND were incorporated into the conditions of approval, and that is included in your packet as Exhibit 1 to Attachment 1. The project was found to be consistent with the relevant general plan policies, some of which are highlighted on this slide. The land use element policy 4.3 is the office and institutional land use designation. This category includes lands that are specifically intended to support the needs of the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital and related medical services. Land use element policy 1.8 requires compatibility with the character of the existing development. Through revisions to the proposed project, it has been found consistent with this policy. Transportation element policy 7.12 requires amenities in new development to facilitate transit use. And the expanded bus pocket along Hollister Avenue, which would provide room for two buses, facilitates such amenities. Transportation element policy 9.2 requires adequate parking supply, and we just discussed that with the shared parking arrangement. And then housing element policy 3.2 requires new or expanded non-residential development to contribute to the provision of employee housing. And financial contribution will satisfy this requirement as included in the conditions of approval. So just in summary, the new medical office building would be a two-story building on the prominent Hollister Avenue-Patterson Avenue intersection. Parking demand is met for the two properties, the hospital and the medical office building. It would replace the existing medical office building, upgrading the existing healthcare facilities, as well as increasing the size of a little more than 10,000 square feet. The project would include frontage improvements on Hollister, including the expanded bus pocket, and is found to be consistent with the hospital overlay and the general plan. So with that summary, staff's recommendation is for the commission to adopt the two resolutions included in your packet. The first is attachment one, to adopt the final mitigated negative declaration, and the second is to adopt the development plan or approve the development plan, including the requested modifications. So that concludes my presentation, although you will have also seen that there was an errata sheet included with the presentation, and I'd like to just go through that quickly. The first page deals with the need to make a correction to the number of the net new employees that were referred to in the land use and planning and the and population and housing sections in the final mitigated negative declaration. The employee estimates in those sections were derived from trip generation estimates in the ITE, Institute of Transportation and Engineers trip generation manual. And as currently written, the MND does not make a distinction between employee and non-employee trip generation in that in those sections. So with the correction, the number of new employees would be revised from 25 that's listed to 19. And the calculation resulting is shown there for you. I won't go through it unless we need to. And then that requires subsequent changes in the general plan policy consistency section, where we had calculated the financial contribution that would be made based on 25 employees. So that had to be corrected for the number of employees being reduced to 19. And then additionally, that affects condition of approval number 51, which identifies the financial contribution now as $83,500 from the previously listed $109,500. And again, that was based on the services that would be could be provided to renters or homeowners based on our calculation that was listed. And then on the second page and the third page, there's just two more changes to conditions. The first is condition of approval number 55C. This is a community services condition. It will become a new standalone condition, number 56, and the rest of the conditions will then be renumbered accordingly. What this change is basically clarifying the timing of the condition would be required prior to building permit for approval, of the improvement plan and prior to occupancy for completion of improvements. The requirements for the improvements remain the same. And then your errata sheet notes that the text shall include but not be limited to has been removed. And then on the third page, condition of approval number 63, this is the last change. This is just a clarification to identify the timing of fire hydrant location determination, and that would be prior to building permit. And that's it. And we did not receive any letters or other correspondence from the public on the project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You're reaching for your mic of questions. Okay, before I open, let me open the public hearing and then we'll proceed. Vice Chair Sheeler.
Question for staff in regards to the material that was just presented to us. 24 a.m. trips is the calculation. And then I notice on page 108, when it talks about the p.m. peak hour trips, it's 14 new trips. So would that be a comparison of a.m. and p.m.? One is generating 14 for the p.m. and the other one is generating 24 for the a.m.? Just to understand that.
I think that's correct.
Right, exactly. That's showing external PM peak hour trip. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Questions for staff? Commissioner Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to know about the timeline relating to the construction and then the demolition.
The project plans, you may have noticed, includes a phasing plan. Uh-huh. And it's our understanding that the construction would occur, and I'll actually call out the sheet. It's on big page 255. And it's actually shown as part of Phase 3. As you probably know, the new hospital is under construction currently. And then once the new MOB is constructed, the existing MOB will be demolished under Phase 5, which is the middle picture down below.
But are any projected dates associated with these phases?
I think that I might want to throw that out to the applicant.
Well, I'll just wait and you can tell us. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners?
Madam Chair. Thank you. Staff, Ms. Moore, good evening.
Good evening.
Just a quick clarification on height limits and my understanding of them. The zoning height limit is 45.
Yeah, let me clarify. The actual zoning ordinance is 35 feet. But our general plan, when it was adopted, that land use element policy allowed for 45-foot height limit.
Okay, so the general plan is 45.
Correct.
The zoning ordinance is 35.
Right.
Okay.
Maximum of 45.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay. And are we or are we not perhaps using that 45 feet as justification for the modification at all, or was this just facts?
It's facts. I mean, the land use policy allows for up to that height. And this was merely a modification to, because our zoning ordinance is obviously from the county, and it's not consistent with our general plan at this point yet.
Well, is it true that actually the airport height standards to one degree or another trump the general plan at this point?
They're outside of the approach zone. They're actually quite north of it, so they're not really affected by that at all. But we did consult with Airport Land Use Commission staff, and they had one request, and that was included in a condition of approval, and that was just to provide notification that the airport's in the vicinity.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I have a question, Ms. Moore. The plan as it stands with the higher height limit that Commissioner Daniels was just referring to, has this plan already gone through the DRB?
It has at a conceptual level, and in fact, the DRB spent a lot of time on this project. They obviously spent a lot of time on the hospital as well, but they had 5 separate meetings just on the medical office building, and then they did form an ad hoc subcommittee, and they had 3 additional meetings with it there. So they did spend quite a bit of time.
So this plan...
They reviewed it conceptually, but they would wait until after the project approval in order to proceed with preliminary and final approval.
Okay. So as far as this height limit is concerned, how does that figure with DRB?
They understood the height, and they concluded their conceptual review based on the project you see before you
Thank
tonight.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. I believe we have a presentation.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Maruja Grunstrom. I'm with Suzanne Ellich, Planning and Permitting Services. I am the agent for the applicant, Cottage Health Systems in Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. I am, wanted to thank Cindy Moore and staff for your comprehensive presentation and for all their collaboration over the past couple years now through the planning and permitting process associated with the hospital campus project. We'll limit our presentation to avoid any redundancies that you've seen already. In addition to myself and Susan Ellich, we have a quite wonderful and big project team. From Cottage Health System, we have Ron Buscaro, Diane Wisby, and Brooks Larson. Jake Rowey of Pacific Medical Buildings is here. Stephen Nguyen from SWA Architects. Local landscape architect Martha DeGasis from Arcadia Studio is here. Rick Henderson from HBE or Civil is here as well. Scott Shell, transportation planning from ATE. And ATE and HBE are here and can answer any questions related to civil engineering or transportation planning, but they won't be making part of the presentation that you'll see this evening. At this point, I'd like to introduce CSH Vice President Diane Wisby to do a brief introduction.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here with us this evening so that we can present this plan. It's been in the works for a while, and as you've heard, the DRB worked very, very collaboratively with us, and so we're excited to be at this point and be able to share with you what we've done so far. Now the technical part's over. The rest is easy. I thought maybe it would be helpful to kind of take us back a little bit in time as to, you know, kind of how we got to where we are here today. And this all started following the Northridge earthquake. Senate Bill 1953 was enacted, and it requires all hospitals to either retrofit or rebuild, to assume they are at the epicenter of a major earthquake, with the purpose of keeping all of the services operational. And the Cottage Health System found itself in the same position that every hospital in the state did, which was trying to determine what we do with our existing hospitals. And I'm pleased to say that the decision was made to completely replace the existing Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. And because the hospital was designed originally as a kind of campus concept with a medical office building that was built approximately the same time as the hospital, that's really how we have considered the project and looked at it throughout the entire duration. The current medical office building is very inefficient. It's an old building. It has very wide corridors, but very small medical offices. And the exam rooms are small. Many of the exam rooms don't even fit the size and the type of equipment that physicians use in their practices anymore. The waiting areas are very small. We often find patients out in the public waiting area, sitting in chairs out in the main hallways of the medical office building. It's not a very glamorous building. It's very inefficient in its layout. And even though the rents are, we have kept them very low, we have vacancies in the current office building, and we really can't fill those. So you ask yourself, well, you know, why do we really need an office building at all? There is a very symbiotic relationship between the hospital and physician offices. Most physicians want to practice near a hospital, and particularly in a hospital like Goleta, where a lot of what we do is surgical business. It makes it very convenient for the physicians to walk across the parking lot, to come see their patients before they start their office practice, come back at lunchtime, see them as they're leaving the cafeteria, and see them again in the evening. So that symbiotic relationship, you know, is really very critical to the success of the hospital going forward. Right now, almost 25% of the patients that we treat at the hospital are as a result of the physicians who have their offices right next door. We also have the office building across the street, and when you add that in, it's even more of the business that supports the hospital. With the new hospital plan, we're going to be expanding the capability and the capacity of virtually every service that we currently exist. And so it's really going to require additional physician support. And absent having an office building that is attractive and useful and usable to physicians going forward, I think that we really are going to be challenged to fill that new hospital. So the medical office building really is a critical component, not only in the future success of Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital, but really for the future healthcare needs of the Goleta community. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Maruha, and she's going to kind of help the rest of the team get through the presentation.
Thanks, Diane. So as staff and Diane mentioned, the existing MOB is quite old, over 40 years, and is inefficient in its design and not very attractive. So we have this wonderful opportunity to create an overall campus plan This is a close-up of the building site. As also Cindy mentioned, after five DRB hearings and three additional ad hoc committee meetings, the project has evolved to include design changes such as a pedestrian walkway from Hollister, the relocation and expansion of the existing MTD bus stop, and has incorporated a landscape design that highlights Goleta's area's agricultural history. These improvements, along with the proposed conditions of the project, make the MOB consistent with the Goleta Old Town Revitalization Plan's goals of improving pedestrian access, improving and expanding public transportation, providing an opportunity to preserve local jobs, as Diane mentioned, with doctors, and by providing necessary and important services to the Goleta Valley. In addition to being consistent with the Goleta Old Town Revitalization Plan, the project's design received conceptual approval by DRB on July 2, 2008. Some comments that were in the meeting minutes from that date. A great design that will be appreciated in the future, Member Messner. Chair Wignott referred to the MOB design as, quote, unquote, well done. And Member Messner concluded that, quote, the MOB would be a great addition to the city, end quote. As mentioned, the previously proposed three-story building, 60,000 square foot, has been scaled down to 52,000 square feet, two-story, making the new net square footage just over 10,000 square feet. This characteristics, combined with the landscaping design, frontage, and bus stop improvements, make for a well-designed project that will contribute to the health and well-being of Goleta Valley, both today and in the future. And to speak more about the design and the process, how it evolved, I'd like to introduce Stephen Nguyen from SWA Architects, to be followed by Martha DeGaces from Arcadia Studios.
Thank you, Rue. Madam Chair, Commissioner, Planning Staff, good evening. My name is Stephen Nguyen. I'm the principal of SWA Architect from Pasadena. I would like to take the next few minutes, share with you our design concept for this project, as well as the process under which we went through the design of review board process. To begin with, when we first got this project, we realized that there is an existing hospital that is already being designed and prepared by a local architect firm by the name of Design Arc. We thought in order to create a cohesive architectural campus, it is vital that we engaged the assistant from Design Arc. With their help, we were able to ascertain some of the design architectural motif whereby we're able to develop a project. In our opinion, has become an integral part of the overall campus. As you can see from this design, the frontage of the medical office building, as you know, is about 230 some square linear foot, fronting Hollister. And massing of this design of this project has always been a very critical part of the process. And as we developed this project, we worked very closely with the design review board. In this process, we received about quite a lot of comments and input from the folks on the design committee. And we took all these comments to heart, and we tried to interpret and come up with a solution that we thought is the intent of the folks on the DRB. Consequently, it took us 7 to 8 different design versions. As you know, it went through a period of about 8 to 9 months. And finally, we were able to come up with a solution that met everybody's satisfaction. In that process, one of the major elements is the building massing, the building scale, and how it's going to fit in this critical corner of Hollister and Patterson. The frontage being around 230 linear foot, originally, as mentioned by Maruja earlier, we're looking at originally a three-story building. So you imagine this 230-foot, three-story mass. That was one of the major concerns throughout the design process. So what we have done is we have broken up this 230-some-foot linear foot of plain north elevation. We're broken into small pieces of, if you will, subplanes. And we juxtapose these planes in such manner we push some of the area back and some other pieces forward. The recess we were able to create into the courtyard as indicated, which we will indicate in, let me see, hang on, I have a pointer. This is the proposed courtyard area. And as you can see, there's one plane here, another section, a third section, a fourth section, a fifth section. Essentially, we broke the whole elevation up into different planes and positioned them in such manner that creates a geometry, if you will, for lacking of a better term, that gives it the appearance of a series of smaller buildings in that area rather than a big, massive three-story monstrosity. The next thing we did in the design process is we overlaid the fenestration patterns by introducing three separate type of window system type. We have what we call the vertical punch window, which is what you see here. And we have what we call the horizontal linear window, which is this element here. And then we alternate these fenestration pattern with a glass curtain wall. You see a little bit of here, you see a little bit here, and you see a little bit here. And so once we overlay these elements, the next step what we did was we select a group of color combination. We went through utilizing pastel soft tone color. This color basically creates a nice contrast. As we were designing this, we started seeing the olive tree orchard that's been developed by our landscape architect and some of the other tree landscape elements. We thought if we were able to produce a soft color combination that contrasts with the foliage greenery surrounding this building with a full with the building being in this location with the full orchard here meander through the surrounding of this building, we thought that really created a very soothing, calming environment for the user. And this is a park essentially for the patient as well as this courtyard area. Next thing we did was we introduced what we call sunscreen eyelids. This is with the intention to meet the passive solar energy concept. As you know, on the south side, especially on the south facade of the building, again, once again, if you look at both north and south facade, the length of the whole overall building is such that we broke it up into small elements. There is this long linear concept on both facades. First of all, we introduced the small vertical planes. The next, we introduced the horizontal linear element by compounding them with the eyelid, creating a lot of sunshades throughout. You can see the shadow element throughout. The eyelids serve two purposes. Number one is to break down the facade to give it a more human scale. By having the horizontal element, you can see this is a human scale here. This building no longer appears to be a huge, tall structure, compounded by the fact that these sunscreen also provide for energy-saving, passive solar energy concept. So that compounded with color, with the green foliage combined, we feel what we're achieving is basically a holistic, hopefully, a healing environment. As the patient come to this building to see their doctors, they can experience a soothing, calming environment that we thought from a long run would be very beneficial for the patients. Lastly, I just want to address a little bit on the Cal Green matters. As you know, the building code has changed starting this year. Our office, along with all of the other architects in the state have been very busy trying to figure out what we need to do. And no different for this project, we are aware of all the requirements under CalGreen. We're aware of the mandatory and the non-mandatory requirement, the 10,000 square foot minimum threshold, as well as other conditions over 50,000 square foot. Now, from reading some of the conditions of approval issued by the planning staff, a lot of those elements are very similar to what CalGreen is requiring. We're currently in the process in developing concept along with our engineer in understanding what is it that we need to do in terms of material requirement, construction waste constraint requirement, and many other, the lighting requirement. And we're looking at some of the air conditioning HVAC system already that will meet the energy co-regulation under the most current requirement. And, of course, the water conservation as well as wastewater treatment process. So all of those elements we're in the process of reviewing as we speak. And as this project progresses, it is our intention to work with our client to try to do our best to develop the concept based on the latest situation stipulated by the state. With that, I will hand it to Martha, our landscape architect. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Martha DeGaces from Arcadia Studio Landscape Architects in Santa Barbara. And let's see if I can scroll through to our site plan. Did I miss one? There it is. So as has been mentioned repeatedly, the main feature in the landscape is the olive grove. So what we're planning to do there is plant fruitless olives in this grid-like form, and the idea is to evoke the Goleta agricultural tradition. And in addition to the olive trees, we have a ground plane of low-maintenance ground cover, which would be an evergreen grass. And you can see in these diagonal stripes that reinforce the olive grove and also reinforce the strong lines of the hospital building and of the medical office building. So within that ground plane of the grasses and a low evergreen ground cover with the canopy of the olive trees, we've got this meandering path which joins the bus stop to a dedicated pedestrian path right across to the hospital. So it's very convenient to the new bus pullout area that you see, the bus pocket that's been provided. And in addition, the bus stop, again, is being relocated from the corner where it presently is at Patterson and Hollister to this more convenient location with direct access across the parking lot to the hospital as well as to the medical office building there. We're also providing bicycle parking. You can see in the lower corner of the plan there for bicycles in addition to the generous bicycle parking at the hospital. In addition to the olive grove, which again is repeated in the hospital landscape plan, so we have this repeated grid on both parcels, we've got generous landscape areas for really big size canopy trees, that is big eventual growth of the trees. So those are going to blend in beautifully, I think, with the really strong lines of the medical office building there. The courtyard is accessible to the public. You can see in the center there we've got some flowering trees, and we're relocating the existing palm trees that everybody's familiar with on the frontage of Hollister there in front of the existing medical office building. So they'll create a little grove within that courtyard there and some flowering canopy trees. It's going to be a very restful location for anyone who's using the buildings or for the public to have access to. In addition, at the entry to the building, we've got some more of the palm trees. We have 9 in total that we'll be relocating to that area. And then as we round the corner there, we've got more large-scale canopy trees at the corner of the building, and then the jacaranda street trees that we're all familiar with on Patterson Avenue. Besides the bus pocket, we're conforming to the new city standards of having a parkway planting along Hollister Avenue. So instead of the sidewalk abutting the curb, as it does now, we'll have a nice planting strip and then the olive trees continuing the grid quality as the street tree. So we've got a couple little perspectives of what we expect the olive grove, the just the sense of it in the scale with the bus stop and the medical office building in the background there as you progress along Hollister. And so you can kind of get a sense of the scale and the canopy, the feeling of generous canopy and park-like quality that the olive grove will give to that corner. And again, this trees that we're planning for the corner of the building would be a kind of a heavy scaled, either an Moreton Bay chestnut tree, which is a somewhat rare tree, but there's one existing on the site now, so we're going to try and add some of those on the corner, or we'll use the eucalyptus fissifolia, which is the red flowering gum that is across the street at the Holly Pad apartment building there. Good dense canopy tree. And I think that covers our treatment of the corner.
Madam Chair.
Yeah. We have a question for you, Vice okay. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Just trying to understand. The new frontage, will there be a park strip or a grass strip or something? Because the way that this is laid out, it's showing the sidewalk directly.
Yeah, that's that is an error. The frontage edge will, and I think probably this plan shows it a little better. You can see the strip of planting on either side of the bus pocket. So there will be a parkway strip, and it will be planted in a low maintenance, rather flat ground cover called Diamondia.
And that only extends as far as the olive grove, not to the remainder to the corner of the property?
The... Let's see if I. So the parkway strip does go all the way to the corner of the property. You just don't see it here. And then, like so. And so it goes all the way to the corner and continues along Patterson Avenue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Please.
Thank you. Hi. I just wanted to know how tall these olive trees are at maturity and about how long it takes them to reach maturity.
The olive trees at maturity would be, I would say, 30 feet probably. Planted, they will probably be on the order of 10 to 12 feet tall. So there'll be a growing period, I would say, to reach that mature height. I would guess 15 years possibly, maybe a little bit less, 10 to 15 years.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I have one.
Yes.
Are benches envisaged in the olive grove area?
We do have, I think, it's a little difficult to see here, but I think we have four benches within the olive grove, and they're on either side of these. I'm having trouble with that. They're located on either side of these little wing pathways here. So I think we have two on each side there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to scoot through these renderings one more time. All right. We're at the end, or almost, or rather the beginning of a whole other thing. Thank you to Martha and Stephen for your presentations. In summation, Madam Chair, fellow commissioners, this project results in updating and improving a vital component to the healthcare infrastructure serving the Goleta Valley, while continuing to provide uninterrupted healthcare throughout the project's construction. To reiterate what the staff report concludes, the project is consistent with all applicable policies and regulations and therefore can be approved by your commission this evening. Again, we're extremely appreciative of all the collaboration that we've had with city staff throughout this process. We're available for any questions at this time. Madam Chair, Commissioner Wallace, if I can address your question that you mentioned earlier. The MOB construction period will take approximately 12 months.
Upon your approval, we will be sending out drawings for their construction drafts and bids, and we anticipate the MOB opening around the same time as the hospital, if not slightly before. Thank you.
I do have a question for you. As far as the design of this building, were any of the doctors who currently are in that building, were they brought in to review the design, to contribute to it at any point?
I'm going to ask, Diane, would you like to speak to that real quick?
Thank you.
We have some of the physicians who have seen the basic shape of the building, but absent really having any final design approval, they're really more interested in what's my office going to look like than they are to the exterior of the building. So they know that it's a two-story building. They know the basic shape of the building. They love the courtyard element that's at the front of the building. But their real interest is in, you know, how big and how soon can I have an office that meets my needs.
And probably how much, too.
How much is always part of the equation.
So would they be brought in at the point where the offices are, the layouts are designed, or I'm just curious.
Absolutely. You know, this the office, individual offices will be designed to their needs and their specifications. You know, the orthopedic surgeons have different needs for their offices than, you know, do maxillofacial surgeons. So, you know, they'll be working with our architects once we get the kind of perimeter and the exterior of the building approved. Then all of the interior elements will really be designed to the individual physicians who choose to have their offices located there.
Thank you. Yes, please. Commissioner Stapleman.
I have a question that probably you'd be able to answer. I'm just curious to know whether these are only offices or if they will also have some operating theaters associated with them, depending on what the doctor is working on. So is this building able to have that kind of option, or if you could clarify that for me?
Yeah, our intent is not to have them, you know, they may do a little minor, you know, incision of some sort in their office, but our desire and our plan is that all of those procedures as they are done now will be done in the hospital. And the convenience of having that directly across the parking lot makes it so convenient for them. They don't have to then staff their offices with operating room nurses or with anesthesiologists. They have that capability just walking across the parking lot. So that the plan is not to have surgery being done in those spaces.
Thank you.
Commissioners, other questions? Commissioner Daniels.
Thank you, Chair. Can I borrow Mr. Nguyen for a couple minutes here, please, to talk about architecture? Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. I'm curious, and like I mentioned to others before you, I don't design, so I'm being curious. I just want to understand the design. You mentioned that the design took pieces from the new hospital, and I'm wondering if you have a perspective that shows both of them in a complementary fashion, or if you could maybe discuss pieces of your design that were taken or modified or had the thematic of some point with respect to the hospital.
Unfortunately, do we have?
That's fine. I'll move on.
Let me sort of share with you a little bit of how that process took place. When we engaged Design Art, the intention is not to copy verbatim the architectural vernacular that has been developed on the campus, but at the same time develop a concept that is consistent with the intent and the image that is being generated on the hospital building. Furthermore, as you may know, the bay depth, the building sizes, and the internal function that generated the hospital form, if you will, is based on patient room needs, OR, as well as other diagnostic and treatment functions. So oftentimes, when those masks, as they generated from the function, has necessarily, not necessarily all the same fenestration pattern and concept as in the MOB. So when we develop this, the importance of medical office development is exterior fenestration. Doctors like to have windows. You want the patient room to have exterior exposure. You don't need that in an OR. You don't necessarily need that in an imaging radiology department. So those criteria change drastically in terms of acute care hospital versus MOB. All of that said, when we invited Design Arc to assist us, it's basically to understand their design intent for their architectural motif developed there. So in that sense, they gave us guideline of how they derived that, some of these ideas. And so to that we don't necessarily have to copy verbatim, but we use the same idea. So in that sense, with their assistance, during the 7 design versions that we've gone through, actually, I have some of the copies of what we developed. There are a lot of freehand sketches exchanged between our office and their office with input from them. We would take comments from the design review board members. We will interpret them as a certain understanding, and we will sit down with them. We say, okay, what do you think they meant by this? How do we accomplish what they're trying to convey to us or what they're hoping for, thinking? Because folks on design review board is not necessarily the ones that tell us how to design certain things, but the direction of what they would like to see. And a lot of those are scale, massing, and so on. So in that light, even if you can look at the design concept, there are a lot of color ideas that we try to tie together. I think you can hear me. There are a lot of very similar images if you do a quick glance. You know, like an artist who's looking at an easel, thank you, that you grin your eyes and you see images. So if you take a quick glance at both of these renderings, there are a lot of very similar images, not necessarily verbatim copying, as well as a lot of color similarities and so on. So I don't know how to, the answer cannot be a direct, we did this, we did that exactly, but you can see. So if these two, if somebody walked through the MOB campus and the hospital campus, you will be able to feel that you're on the same campus. It is not, we have two totally separate buildings per se.
You answered that perfectly. I appreciate that.
I
understand, and that's what I needed to have that understanding of. Now, if we can just focus on your building, and Ms. Moore, thanks for bringing that out. That helps a lot. One of the things we're struggling with, one of the things we have to determine tonight is your height modification, and I need to have an understanding of. What functionally is the need for the height modification? I see it with respect to the articulation of the design. I get that. I want to have an understanding of what's in that volume on the vertical second floor, if you will, of both of those, and I'll call them red, towers. And also the western canopy. I don't get that. It was lost on me with respect to the plans. What functionality that had? And to be clear, I understand the middle portion where your parapet is, and I'm guessing that's probably for equipment down the road.
The western canopy you're referring to, this portion, I presume?
Yes, up on top, on the roof. Yes, that right there.
I'm just trying to go through the design process because it has been a short while.
And let me ask the question, if I may. I can see through that, so I'm guessing that's open, right? I can see clouds
yes.
through that. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let me address the height. The height is a combination of the building vertical. For instance, most medical office building, a standard height that we provide for floor to floor is about 13 foot 6 inches. That's pretty standard these days. You no longer want to design a building with an 8-foot ceiling anymore. I mean, it's understand the medical health care, and especially with the concept of we're trying to push for natural healing environment. You want to give the environment the space psychologically to the patient in such manner so that they will allow them to feel a lot more comfortable visiting rather than feel compressed. So these days, a lot of the element we design in a lot of medical office building as well as hospital building, we provide natural material color. Okay, we use a laminate that has bamboo, has wood. We provide very soft tone color. All of that said, same thing with height requirement. Ground floor usually has a little higher desire for a higher elevation. Usually the ground floor will provide for a 15-foot minimum. Imagine you come into a nice medical office building, you walk in this lobby, and you're claustrophobic into this, squeezing this little tiny space, as well as the need to provide a little higher a space requirement on the second floor. Usually the design these days are 9-foot minimum, 9-foot ceiling instead of the old 8-foot ceiling. And also this is part of what the developer, the medical service folks would prefer to see. So with that being part of the criteria as well, therefore we sort of push the building height a little higher than usual. In this particular case also we have the mechanical penthouse that's on the rooftop. I think the overall height push it just over the limit by 3 foot 5 inches. I believe that's the limit that we're the flexibility we're looking for. So and also I believe the site does slope a little bit. So when you establish a certain elevation and go in a certain way, the 3 foot 6 inches really allows for a very nice end result. It's not a whole lot of distance, but that's what we were asking for. At the end, it really still gives the building a very positive outlook and feel.
Thank you for that. When I first looked at the plans, I thought right away, and wrongly so, as far as I can read this, that those were two columns for elevators, but they're for stairways instead,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The elevators in the back, the northwest corner, the southwest corner.
Yeah, you're looking at
right?
the little bump out, which is this
right.
and this guy.
So maybe I'm missing something, but if that is just for the stairwells, you must have a lot of clear story off the second floor vertically.
I'm trying to understand your question one more time, please.
Well, now I'm understanding that we're talking about stairways.
Yes.
And so now you've got the verticality of the stairway. I was looking for something functional, and there may not be anything, but I was looking for something functional on the upper part of those towers. Is there roof access?
Yes, one of the stair does go up and to the roof. Here is the layout. I want to go back to one of the questions earlier, one of the comments made in terms of the existing MOB has very wide corridor and very tight office space. For medical office buildings, there is a certain grid line depth we look for that accommodates the variety of use of medical practices. Medical practices go from single practitioner to multi-practice group. You have 6 to 8 doctors. So the doctor's office space ranges anywhere between a small 1,200 square foot to as big as a 5,000 square foot practice. That said, what you see here, if I may, this is an internal corridor proposal. Okay, so what you see here, each one of these grid bay is about 30 about 30 foot. For a single practitioner doctor, this is a perfect space. I can cut this into two doctor's offices. You can imagine if I come in here, I may have a waiting room here. I have a center corridor. All my exam rooms are on this side, and some of my support spaces that does not need windows are on this side. The same can be said about this area. I can have a main entrance coming in here, my lobby being here, my center corridor here, all my exam room and doctor's offices here, and so on. Now, depending on how many group of doctors, a lot of these areas, for instance, this is a large group practice. I have what we call a racetrack, okay? This is a racetrack. I can come in here. I have center support. I have exam room on this side. So I can have much larger of a practice on this kind of a bay. All of that said, what is happening is when you divide up your practices in these manners, your package unit for the rooftop needs to be spread out all over. Okay, so consequently, I need to provide the screen throughout the roof to cover all these units that's sitting on top from a visual standpoint. So that's the reason why they're kind of spread out in that manner. And it is not, and also given this configuration, it's almost a U shape. Again, cost efficiency become very critical because if I do one big package here, I need to drag that duct all the way across this way and then bring it down to the floor below. So consequently, the design is such that I need to provide sufficient screen elements to cover the unfortunate unsightly stuff. In this case, what's interesting, actually, we were just looking at these rooftop unit with our mechanical engineer just last week because the Cal Green issue. Mm-hmm. Some of these more efficient elements, unfortunately, are a little bigger and their shape is a little different because of the nature of some of these machines needs to be operated from the old non-efficient system. They come in different sizing shapes now. So when we go into the actual construction document preparation of this building, those elements need to be reexamined. We need to maintain that. But at the same time, that's sort of it's a combination of all of these elements that's kind of drive up the need for some of these adjustments.
Okay, I'm getting it. But I still don't understand the canopy on the west. That hasn't been explained yet. And is that like a lounging out for the employees?
I don't remember the reason why we developed that concept. You can see it. It's penetrating from here. You can see the sky.
Is there anything functional that's happening on the roof underneath that canopy?
Other than, I need to go back to my notes. Maybe there is a penthouse for the elevator bank here. And that may be the only reason right off hand I can think of. Okay, there is an override to the rooftop. Okay, that may be the case.
Well, we're kind of in the right location right for that.
Okay. I see my elevator machine room is down here, but for these elevator, I do have override bump up on all of these elevators. So that may have been one of the reasons. But even though it doesn't push up that high, but there is an element up there supporting all of these equipment. So I can't give you a direct. I don't remember truly why we developed that. And whether there was any input from the DRB, I can't remember. It's an honest answer.
Well, can I take away from this discussion that most of that extra height is, I mean, aside from the functionality of the screening, you know, with all the HVAC equipment and whatnot, the rest of that height is architecture, it's design.
I would tend to agree to that observation, yes.
All right. You didn't hear me being negative about anything, right? I was just being curious.
No.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello again. Madam Chair, Commissioner Daniels, I just wanted to reiterate that DRB members, I know, looked at every element very religiously for the 8 meetings that they were looking at it. So I'm sure that feature on the roof was examined and served its purpose. But I did also want to reiterate what Ms. Moore mentioned, in that we're only proposing a height increase of 3.5 feet. And within the hospital overlay, it's 35 to 45 feet allowed by the general plan. And we're requesting 38.5 feet.
Ms. Grenstrom, a quick question for you. Does this match in height the main hospital building?
Madam Chair, I believe it's slightly under the hospital. If you would like an exact feet, I could ask Mr. Nguyen to provide a number. Yeah, out of the hospital. I want to say 42 was the height of the hospital. I think that says just under 45, yeah. We didn't require a mod for height with the hospital, so I believe it's 42. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Vice Chair Schiller.
Thank you, Chair Sondland. I had a series of questions, and maybe different folks on the team may want to respond based on their expertise. I'm going to start with utilities. Will the individual suites be metered for utilities?
Each individual suite, I believe, will have its – it will not. Mr. Rowe, would you like to speak to – Stephen, Mr. Wen's going to come up and speak about the utility questions.
Usually for – medical office building like this, there's only one single meter allowed by the power company. What we do is there is a submeter system that we designed into the mechanical area so that each suite are provided with a submeter depending on how much power they use, because it is almost impossible for you to break those apart. So,
sure.
So there will be a submeter provided internally.
Will the suite users be billed by the landlord or by the utility provider?
I believe it's by the landlord.
Okay.
Because utility will bill one client, which is the building owner.
And then the landlord will parse the bills out based on
according to sub-meter the usage. Yes.
Okay. And I'm looking at this more as the – I know this is the MOB project, but I'm looking at this from a larger context of the campus, per se. They will be a large user of potable water, I would think, using multiple industrial-sized washers. Has there been any consideration to using gray water for landscaping in the olive tree orchard?
We have not considered using gray water for the landscape, but we do and have already designed and proposed a weather sensing controller, which is also state law at this point. And the landscape palette is consistently drought tolerant, low water use.
But it will be using potable water versus
it will be using potable water. Yes.
Okay. Question now, this is regarding stormwater management. It talks about on page 77 that filters, there will be filters in each outlet. How many outlets and filters does that turn out to be?
I would like to ask Mr. Rick Henderson to come up and speak. He's our civil.
All right, thanks.
I don't know for sure the exact number on the hospital site, but each curb inlet in the parking lot was provided with a filter system. I think the number was like 11. But
thank you. Do you happen to know how often those are cleaned or replaced?
They should be cleaned about once a year.
And the responsibility for that is for the
would be the
facility, the hospital itself. Okay. Do you know if permeable pavers will be used anywhere?
They were used on the temporary lot. They are not being used on the hospital site.
And maybe this is one more question for the civil engineer. Why is so much soil being imported for parcel B compared to anywhere else on the site?
A lot of that is, well, parcel B does require some fill, and because of the timing and the limited amount of site available, they actually have to haul dirt away for the basement that they're digging from the hospital and then bring it back.
Okay.
For the final works.
Site. Yeah. Okay, thank you. My next question has to do with transportation. And I'm just wondering, is the calculation been determined what contribution this project will be making to Goleta Transportation Improvement Program?
Chair Solomon and Commissioner Shelor, we have a general condition in there that we collect diffs that are due at the time of whenever it happens to be due under the ordinance. Some of them are land use permits, some of them are occupancy clearance. And we don't put the calculation in the condition because those are also subject to increases at certain intervals, like once a year, and it's usually tied to the construction index. So we don't actually put the figure in there because it may be higher at the time we actually collect it. But we do have a handout that explains to applicants what their, for example, per 1,000 square foot obligation would be.
Whatever ends up being contributed, will these improvements be earmarked for this intersection or the intersection of Patterson and US 101, or will it go into a general fund pool for transportation improvements?
Madam Chair and Commissioner Shelor, those go into our transportation fund. There are some specific improvements, like the frontage improvements that go along with this project. Mm-hmm. And then the capital improvement program specifies how the DIF fees collected are to be expended and on the time frame.
Okay. Regarding the capital improvement program, do you know what improvements, capital improvements, are being planned for the intersection of, if any, for Patterson and Hollister and then Patterson and US 101?
Chair Solomon and Commissioner Shelor, I just noticed that Marty Schultz is here from Community Services, and I'll let her answer that question.
Okay. Thanks for being here.
Ooh, sorry. Chair and Commissioners, the improvements for the Patterson Avenue in regards to the on and off ramps at Highway 101, there's a number or at least a couple of different options out there with regards to improvements. Some of them range from just restriping to increase capacity. There's the opportunity for widening. Caltrans has requested some other improvements such as metering of the on-ramps, which may impact how we would have to then facilitate improvements on Patterson Avenue, anything from the bridge widening itself in order to facilitate a dual left or something along those lines, or just widening of the on-ramp in order to accommodate metering within that area. So there's a number of mixes and matches of ways to improve that intersection. All of them have different levels of cost that are associated with them.
And I think I have another question that you might be able to help with, and this has to do with traffic modeling. I brought this up earlier based on the information we just received at the beginning of the meeting, and the data says that there would be 24 a.m. peak hour trips, but only 14 p.m. peak hour trips. Is this a reasonable ratio?
Madam Chair and Commissioner Shelor, the AM and PM peak hour trips are 24. It's the distribution through, and those are distributed on the roadway in different directions.
Okay.
So 14 of the 24 go through Patterson and Hollister.
Okay. Thank you. Just a few more here. That's all right. This has to do with the section on greenhouse gas emissions, and on big page 67. There's recommended mitigation measures, and I'm noticing these are part and parcel of every staff report that is coming through now. Is the DRB aware of these mitigation measures?
Chair Solomon and Commissioner Shelor, the DRB hasn't seen this project since conceptual review, and they don't really have jurisdiction over the approval or the adoption of conditions. But when we take the project back for preliminary and final, any of the conditions that flow through things that they do have jurisdiction over, such as architecture or roofing, a lot of these would be for our building division, and some of those that may affect architecture as well as energy savings may come up in a DRB review.
I know we're in the questions right now, but I'm just compelled to comment on that before I move on to my next question. I really think that the DRB needs to be aware of these from the very beginning. The way a project is designed can make the use of photovoltaic systems infeasible by design.
Commissioners, I just wanted to add one other thing, and that is January 1st, this all changed, so we actually didn't have the opportunity to bring to the attention of actually applicants or the DRB, the Calgreen, and our REACH code. But we can build that into the review process at an earlier point in time from here forward.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. I appreciate that. I think I've just got maybe one or two more questions. What is the future of the Holopat site?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Sheeler, I think I can answer this question, but who knows, might get some support. The Holopat, as part of the conditions of approval for the Holopat, is required to be demolished and returned to its native state upon completion of both the hospital and the MOB campus project. There is a caveat that should later on the hospital decide to use that site for additional medical office buildings or an expansion or maybe retain the parking lot for clients or work staff, that we would take that up at that time with city staff. But as it sits now, it's to be demolished and returned to its native state after completion.
Is there any longer-term prognostication on what the city envisions that site ultimately being?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Sheeler, not to my knowledge.
Commissioners, absent a formal application, all we have is the general plan land use designation and zoning. But we don't have a formal proposal, and we actually haven't had any preliminary conversations about how Cottage Hospital may use that property.
And I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. What is the general plan designation and zoning for that? Okay.
This has a split office and institutional and residential.
And then thanks for bearing with me. My last question, is there a view available when driving east on Hollister? I think we've seen it from multiple perspectives except for that. It's not all that important.
I think it would be this one. Hold on. We're getting there. Oh, wait, I'm at a, wait. Is that it?
Driving, we've got it going west.
I'm driving west with that one. Yeah. Okay. That one.
That's what you see as you're driving.
That is what you're seeing as you are driving east down
Hollister.
Okay, but not
further down the street in terms of seeing the articulation.
Maybe some of the
kind of them.
Yeah. That would be heading east down Hollister.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sheeler. Any other questions? Commissioner Wallace, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. My questions are for staff. So I
well, I think you can go ahead with that, yeah.
Or anyone who wants to answer them. I'm looking at page 32. At least trying to. And in the middle of the page, there is a statement that points out that there are a variety of other structural elements needed for the proper functioning of the facility that, if not handled in a visually sensitive manner, can result in potentially significant visual impacts. Now, is this the kind of thing that the later review by the DRB will be considering?
That's correct. At the end of their conceptual review, they had a number of comments. And they would be reviewing those minutes from that meeting as well as these types of things when they go back for preliminary and final.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. About the height. Now, we talk about height, and I know I always get a little bit confused unless the roof is flat. But thank goodness it is flat. So the roof has a certain measurement of height, and then we see that. But what about the roof-mounted material? Does that go on top of that, of the height that we're seeing now?
Mr. Nguyen may want to correct me, but there is a roof plan in your seat and, yeah, and in your packet, and it's my understanding that that is not above what you're seeing as the 38 feet 6.
You know, that's correct, Ms. Marr.
I'm relieved to hear
it
that.
It is within the height limit.
That makes a big difference. And I think, Brent, that for me, that also justifies some of that additional height, rather than have something tacked on the top much later as we do in one particular Old Town building.
Right.
I just have, this one is, I think, more a matter of curiosity. The closest school is identified as Hollister Elementary. How close is St. Raphael's?
I caught that one. I was rereading it. It's closer.
Commissioners, any other questions for staff or applicant? Okay. Any other comments or questions from the public? Commissioner?
Madam Chair, if I might, as we complete comments and get into your deliberations, we were combing through your packet even as the hearing was going, so I have two more corrections for you, if you'd like to be able to consider them in your sort of complete review of this. And we mentioned earlier in the hearing that there is a reciprocal access situation, and we realized that we had covered that in the CEQA document as well as in the community services conditions. We don't need it in two places. So we would recommend that condition number 32, which is the one that originates from the CEQA document, be deleted. It's not necessary. It's already covered by condition number 53. And then one last minor one, where we already brought to your attention that condition number 51, which is the one that designates the financial contribution towards satisfaction of HE 3.2. Part of the text, we went through a couple iterations of how to word that properly, and part of the text before you in the errata sheet uses the word housing assistance programs, and actually your packet correctly has the updated text, which doesn't use the word program, so that we have maximum flexibility on how to use that money. So just so that you know, the word programs won't be in there.
But it will say housing assistance?
Yes. And it'll have the updated amount, which is the $83,500.
Yeah. The exact correct language is in your packet, number 51, not the errata sheet, but the amount will be what has been established in your errata sheet.
Any other questions for staff? No, I'm going to close the public hearing then, and we'll move into deliberations. Comments from commissioners? Commissioner Wallace?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I want to comment specifically on two things, the modifications requested. Ordinarily, I would be very hesitant to grant a height modification. And I'd like staff to correct me if I say the wrong thing. That is not how I am looking at this as a practical point of view. This height, I think, was certainly envisioned and planned for in the general plan, which trumps all other regulations of our city. The zoning code has not been updated to match the general plan. So really, I don't feel like I'm granting any extra height this evening, because I think that was already done in the general plan. Okay, I like that. Also regarding the parking, I'm pretty hard on parking modifications, because I think the worst thing we can do is to underpark. Nobody wants a big sea of asphalt, but to underpark, particularly here, would be a disaster because there's no overflow. But it's innovative, and yet the number adds up to what is required for the hospital and for this medical office building. Knowing the site, and I think that it is a compact enough site so that there shouldn't be any difficulty in the sharing agreement. But I don't think those kinds of reciprocal agreements work for everything, but here this whole site is devoted to the same function. And I think there is the recapturing that was noted, where a person may indeed go to the office building and then to the hospital, not necessarily involve seeking another parking space. Okay, I want to say no. So I feel that the modifications properly listed as such are not the big leap of faith kind that we sometimes see. I wanted to, of course, thank staff. This packet just speaks to the work that went into this project. And I want to thank the applicants for the same reason, and from what we have been told, the cooperation with staff. I want to say that I live in Old Town Goleta, and I have been active in its revitalization for way too long. I think this is a nice thing. It is far away so that its size does not really compete or infringe upon that smaller area of the downtown. And the eclectic nature of this architecture, I think, is what is called for in the Heritage District guidelines for Hollister, and as a match of picking out different kinds of things and making them blend into something new. So I'm very happy. I'm especially pleased with the DRB. Not only did they spend a lot of time, but I think they got it right. They got it right in this way. They understood that the community has supported and made no bones about it. Adequate health facilities in our city. It was very important when we saw the hospital, and it's not a big leap to know that you have to have some offices and things like that to provide that level of care that we want in Goleta. Yet, I think the DRB held very tight on the issues that also concern our community, those of size, bulk, scale, compatibility, and things like that. I think that is what resulted in the ditching of the three-story and coming to the two, which is very much appreciated. So this took a lot of work, and I'm really happy to see it coming along. So for the second time in a row, I am in high praise of a project.
Commissioners, before we move too much forward, I'd like to just raise the issues of the request for modifications of the setbacks. We haven't commented on those at all, and I'm just interested to hear your thoughts about those requests. These are the request for modifications from the required side yard setback to allow for no setback from the southern property line for the location of parking spaces rather than the 15 feet required. It's the first one. No issues. Okay, so, and the other is in the project description, item 1C, a request for a modification for landscaping along the southern property line to allow no landscaping along the property line rather than the 5 feet required. And any issues with those changes? Okay. Hearing none, I invite any other further comments for staff and applicant. Vice Chair Sheila.
Okay, I'll wait in here, not to be the yin and yang of Johnny's glowing review of this, but I guess I'm maybe a little bit more critical, and so here are my comments. This is in regards to transportation and. On page 108 in the staff report, it does indicate that there's currently a level of service D at Patterson and 101 South. And personally for me, a level service of D should not be considered acceptable in Goleta. It needs to be addressed. Now, obviously, this project isn't going to generate transportation improvement fees that will take care and remedy this. And I think this is an issue that we're dealing with and will be dealing with more and more through the remainder of this year. Regarding greenhouse gas, based on the proposed rooftop projections, the roof seems incapable of hosting a photovoltaic array, now or in the future. Therefore, that could be considered infeasible by design. I know we've got some capable architects here, and just wondering if it is possible for ground or interior-mounted mechanical equipment to be used as an alternative to rooftop mounting. Now, let me move on to just some points that are important for me in the area of aesthetics. I note that the DRB reviewed this project 5 times, largely on the basis of aesthetics. So I appreciate the work that's been done to get it to this point. The roof is listed at 28 feet 6 inches, and there's an additional 10 feet of rooftop projections for a total height of 38 feet 6 inches. And as I drive by the site and look at that and look at the pictures, that looks pretty high to me. It's concerning for me that the general plan allows for 45 feet in the hospital overlay. I'm not sure that anybody was thinking that it would be placed so closely to the corner of one of the most important intersections in our city. I do want to say that I really like the idea of the sunscreen islets and wish that those could be incorporated as much as possible. And the whole idea of passive heating and cooling is really important, whether you're going for Cal Green and trying to receive LEED certification as well. And I really also like the proposed olive grove. It's very complementary to the business office campus to the west.
Will that be all, Vice Chair? Commissioner Daniels.
Madam Chair, thank you. I recall, this has been a couple of years back now, that when the hospital came through, I used a word about architecture that I hadn't used before, and it surprised me, but it came out of my mouth. And I guess I get to use it again here today because, you know, there really are a lot of compliments to both of these projects. And I will call this project, this MOB project, a very, very handsomely done. So thank you very much for that. I feel very positive, very confident about the project as a whole. I appreciate everybody's good work.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'd just like to say that I really enjoy the visual textures of both of these buildings. And it really does break it up. And I think if you have one solid line across, I think it really does look larger than it is, and I think you did a beautiful job with that modulation of the different heights. As it is within the general plan, I look at this and it's really, really well done. I want to thank staff and also the DRB for all their work. I mean, it shows. It shows in what we've been presented, and I think that it is definitely a positive addition to the community, especially looking at the retrofit that goes along with the building of these two complexes. I thought you did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Stapleman. Any other comments from commissioners before we call the question?
Your comments?
No. But I would like to request any information on any ex parte communications or site visits before we vote.
Well, I said I live in Old Town. It's kind of hard for me not to see this parcel every day or so. However, I did take a drive to this parcel to look at it in terms of the material presented to us.
Thank you.
I also drive by very frequently and see the site a lot. So,
thank you. I did conduct a site visit myself, Commissioner Shuler.
No, ex parte and I visited the site this afternoon.
Commissioner Daniels.
No ex parte, and I have been in that building before and understand the waiting room and the need to be outside in that larger corridor. So that's it. Thank you.
Well, it's always exciting to have such a positive project for the community come before us, and I'm going to request a motion to adopt these resolutions. May I?
Madam Chair, because we have 2 actions and there have been revisions to the section action, if you want to take in each one at one at a time so that we are able to fully adopt and whatever amendments there are.
Okay. Given that, Councillor, I think probably what I would like you to do is to actually, can you state the resolution for us as we can vote on it?
Do you want to say it? Okay, your first action will be to, and motion if you so choose, adopt Resolution 11, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, adopting the final mitigated negative declaration for the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital Medical Office Building Project, 5333 Hollister Avenue, APN 065-090-023, case number 08-185-DP.
As amended.
I'm sorry? Were there amendments to the...
It's the errata sheet.
Oh,
so as amended at the hearing of January 24th, 2011.
Right.
Thank you.
So, and that's the only change to the mitigate negative declaration.
Thank you. May I have a motion?
I'll move the resolution.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Comments?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Oh.
Sorry. I just...
It's a little late for that.
I mean,
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that this project clearly provides a significant public benefit, and I apologize if this is out of order, but just thinking this might have been an example of a project that could have been conceptually reviewed by the Planning Commission and the Design Review Board.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Okay. I'm not sure we completed the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? No. Motion passes 5-0. Ms. Smith.
Okay. So the second action that you have tonight is adopt Resolution 11, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a development plan for the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital Medical Office Building Project, 5333 Hollister Avenue, APN 065-090-023, case number 08185-DP. And then for clarification, the conditions of approval that were recommended to be amended by staff today is number 51, text to remain as it is in the packet. However, the number to change from 109,500 to 83,500. Deletion of condition number 32. And then condition number 55C to be changed to its own number 56 and as amended as provided in your errata sheet, and then renumbering and relettering as follows. And then condition of approval number 63 as provided in your errata sheet. And I believe that covers all the changes to the conditions of approval.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Anything else to add from staff on that? Okay. May I have a motion, please?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Thank you very much. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
How long have you been working with Susan?
It'll be 4 years now.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Good job.
Oh my goodness.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome
thank
to Goleta.
You.
Thank you. Okay, well, our applicant leaves the room. We'll just a couple of more items. I understand that we actually have no items for the director's report this evening. And I have any, invite any comments from my fellow planning commissioners. Any comments this evening? Okay. Thank you. Well, then we'll adjourn the meeting. Good night.